Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is kind of a strange day where Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, and I'm very excited to see so many of you here this morning, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again tonight and tomorrow morning to really have all three parts of it. Today, this morning, usually would be the fourth Sunday in Advent all by itself, Rorate Caeli, dropping down of the heavens. If it was just Rorate Caeli, we would hear another text about St. John the Baptizer, the man who came to prepare the way for the Lord. But the much older Lutheran and Christian tradition is that when December 24th falls on a Sunday, that morning give way to what is called the Vigil of Christmas, or the Nativity of our Lord. And so instead of hearing about John the Baptizer this morning, we will hear about the preparation that God has made to bring the Savior of the world. Instead of singing those Christmas hymns, though, this morning, we are singing the Advent hymns that are proper for the morning of today. The genealogies are some of the Bible that we skip over the most because it's filled with names that are foreign to us. And so we get bored with them, we get tired of them, they're too difficult for us, and so we often will simply skip them. But when we do that, we lose sight of the fact that God saves these generations. God has set these generations apart for himself. 14:14:14 is what we read about in the beginning of St. Matthew's Gospel. And so we see that this Jesus who is come is part of a bigger story. Not only is he the offspring of Abraham, of David, of those long foretold, but we get to see all of the men and the women that our Lord worked through to bring about his Savior. Jesus Christ is more than just a man, though. He is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the eternally begotten Son. He is the very Word by which heaven and earth are made, as we will hear about tomorrow morning. Jesus is the prophesied one. The entirety of the Hebrew Scriptures were given solely to bring about this Jesus. Solely so that we might have the Savior, the one who would save us from the death, from the sins, from the punishment that awaits us. Jesus Christ is the only hope for any of us. And so it is fitting and proper that we talk about him this Sunday morning, this Sunday evening, tomorrow morning, and every Sunday until Jesus Christ returns. Because he is the only hope. Too often when we get stuck in this world, we lose sight of that Jesus. Too often when we allow the things that crop up, the things that keep us Sunday from hearing his message, we get so focused on the world that we lose sight of the very Word that created it. We lose sight of the very Word that became flesh like us, yet without sin for us. Our world has become so corrupt, so focused on self rather than on the Creator. And so it's important that we return back to it. I've just recently been made aware by listening to some interviews about this common thing that's out there right now. And it sounds really silly, but they call themselves DINKs. That is D-I-N-K. It's dual income, no kids. And the concept that you would be so focused on your income, so focused on the consumerism of this world, that you would lose sight of the most precious gift that God can give. It deeply, deeply saddens me. As I was looking through the Lutheran Witness for December, I came across some staggering statistics. It shows just the depth of this reality. And it reads like this, that people have lost focus on Jesus and focused more on the stuff that is this world. So according to a 2023 Pew Research parenting study, nearly 90% of parents surveyed found it extremely important that their children be financially independent and have careers they enjoy. There's nothing wrong with having a career that you enjoy. I have one of those. There's nothing wrong with needing those things to get you by day to day. But the fact that 90% of parents focused on that for their children is stark when I give you the next two statistics. 20% said it was important that their children marry and have children. 20% said that that was important to them. And then, in all honesty, the next statistic is what staggered me the most. Furthermore, just 35% of parents found it very important that their children have similar religious beliefs to their own. 75% of parents did not take an interest about whether or not their children followed Jesus. That number saddens me because this is the most important thing you can hand on to your children. Because at the end, all the wealth that we build up, all the stuff that we have, moth and rust will decay it. It is only Jesus that gets us into the life eternal. Declining birth and marriage rates and high de-churching rates are further evidence that we have been catechized all too well into the American creed of careerism, consumerism, personal fulfillment, and the pursuit of happiness. It's completely fine that parents would want their children to be happy. However, sometimes we allow the world to dictate what happiness is. We allow happy to get in the way of actual joy. It is more important to us that our children have a smile on their face, filled with stuff that they don't need, comparatively speaking to the joy that they find in Jesus. The joy in our Lord's birth, the joy in our Lord's taking of our sins upon himself, the joy in our Lord's death and resurrection on our behalf, that should be the number one priority of every Christian parent. It was important to Mary and Joseph. Mary had a hard task given to her. She was told by an angel that she would give birth to the Savior of the world. No pressure. And yet she submitted herself completely to her God. Joseph also had a difficult task ahead of him. This young woman whom he was betrothed to marry was promised to him as a virgin. And while that promise remains absolutely true, what are you to do when all of a sudden you find that this young woman, this woman who is to be your wife, is pregnant? What do you do? On top of that, she has told you that it's God's child. Do you believe her? Almost any other man would have a very difficult time believing her. Joseph did too. It takes God at work in this for Joseph to do the right thing. Joseph is struggling through this. He has heard the generations that have brought him about. He is looking forward to the birth of the Savior to save him from his sins too. Joseph doesn't have a single word recorded in the scriptures, but the Bible does say that he is a just man. He is a man who follows his God. And so while he is thinking about divorcing her quietly, putting her away to try to soften her shame, an angel comes to him as well. We read in St. Matthew's Gospel, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Thanks be to God, this angel is sent to Joseph so that he no longer has to wonder or worry about what he will do. But does it take God sending an angel for us to wonder and worry about what he desires for us to do? He has given us his very word. Should I frustrate myself or become anxious because I don't know what to do? Or should I trust in the Lord? Do I give my life over to the one who gave his life for me? Do I allow the world to dictate how I will run my life or what I will do on a daily basis? Or will I allow this Jesus? He is given the name Jesus, Yehoshua, Yahweh saves. That is who he is. That is what he has come to do. Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This Jesus died on a cross for sinners like you and me. This Jesus rose from the dead to everlastingly put the grave in its place, to have the devil submit to him, to stomp out the sinful lusts of our desires, and to give you a way home, to give you a way to his Father and your Father. This was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. This Jesus, this Yahweh saves, is God with us. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is everlasting. This Jesus is the reason that at Christmas time we have hope. We recognize that no matter how dreary the world gets, there is a light that shines brightly. And that is the light that darkness cannot overcome. That is the light that shines in every single Christian. That is the light that dictates how you live your life on a daily basis. This Jesus, this God with us. And so Joseph submits himself to the Lord's will as well. Joseph will raise this boy as his very own. Joseph will, in many senses, adopt this young boy. God knows how important motherhood is and how important fatherhood is. God sends his only begotten son to do this for you and for me. And God also gives his son a father and a mother. A father who will have to pick up and flee to Egypt to keep this boy safe. A father who will then have to leave Egypt, who will supply and provide for his family by the work of his carpenter's hands. This father devotes his life to protecting and providing for the greatest gift that God could possibly give. The gift of a son. The gift of a savior. And so Joseph devotes his life to this. He will do as the Lord commands. He will take this Mary. He will provide and protect for her. He will take this boy. He will provide and protect for him. He will raise him to know his Lord. And that's hard for us to really comprehend, isn't it? That God, who takes on flesh, has to learn all of these things over again in the flesh. And yet that's what Joseph and Mary do, because that's what Christian parents do. They devote their lives to giving their children the most important thing, Jesus. And so they raise him to know what God's will is. They raise him, they take him to the temple, they teach him the words of Deuteronomy 6, they teach him the Ten Commandments all over again. These things are recited, they are a part of who he is. Make sure that these things are part of who you are, a part of who your children are, and your grandchildren after you. They are the things that will survive us in this world, and they are the things that are eternal. celebrate Jesus this morning, this evening, tomorrow morning, and every day onward as the church sings. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Behold, the King of glory waits. The King of kings is drawing near. The Savior of the world is here. Life and salvation he doth bring. Therefore rejoice and gladly sing. To God the Father raise your joyful songs of praise. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.